Coming up in just a few minutes, Janet Napolitano, the president of the University of California, is with us. Her tenure as UC president is coming to a close. We'll talk with her about the tremendous challenges, particularly with campuses and COVID-19 and some of the partial campus reopenings that are being talked about, probably rethought, given what we're seeing in increasing numbers of COVID-19 cases. She's former governor of Arizona, former head of the Department of Homeland Security, and we'll talk with her coming up very shortly. But first, from UC Irvine School of Medicine, frequent expert with us, part of our rotating group of medical stars, Dr. Shruti Gohil, professor of medicine and associate medical director for epidemiology and infection prevention at UC Irvine School of Medicine. Dr. Gohil, welcome back.
Thank you for having me, Larry.
I appreciate it. So, I know you had a chance to hear what Dr. Latipo of UCLA was talking about before the break, and talking about that our focus needs to be on increasing hospital capacity and coming up with better medications, better treatment, as opposed to doing large-scale lockdowns of the economy. Your thoughts on his analysis?
Yeah, you know, we're in a place, I think, as with anything that emerges like a pandemic, where you can't just do one thing, you have to do everything all at once. And I will say that there has been and continues to be an army of individuals in healthcare and groups like my infection prevention and other groups in emergency medicine and so many other sectors of healthcare that have been working actively on the very things that that were mentioned, including randomized controlled trials for things like remdesivir. He's absolutely right. We need to increase our capacity at the sort of maybe the national level if we could just get more drugs manufactured as soon as we possibly can. That would help us a whole heck of a lot. But it doesn't take away from the fact that it'll take some time to operationalize, to mobilize. Logistics, at the end of the day, sometimes command everything. And so it takes some time to get the vaccines out there, to do the research that's needed first, and then get the material out, including remdesivir and other promising drugs. You have to understand what you're dealing with, and that takes time. So in the meantime, while we're biding our time and trying to get the information right and get not do harm to populations and patients when they come in, we have to make societal decisions that our governor and many in our leadership have been charged to do, and that's critically important. Last week, we saw 8,000-plus new cases daily in California. That's a staggering number if you talk to an epidemiologist. And what that tells you is not so much if you can't look at the whole pool of the population. You have to think to yourself, all right, now we know the game of the virus. It's jogging along at a faster pace. If you are given this kind of information and you are leading an entire population and you want to see that population do well, you've got to act.
And we are seeing the death rate drop, though, and probably a variety of factors. We're seeing younger people who are testing positive. So on average, they're not going to have the complications of people that are older and have comorbidity factors for COVID-19. You're also looking at remdesivir and other treatments, proning, that seem to be effective for a certain percentage of patients, physicians getting more experienced at treating COVID-19 patients. So could we be having this increase in the number of positive tests and even some degree of increase in hospitalizations, but still be able to handle that because people not being sick as long, not being hospitalized as long, and not as many people having to go to the hospital?
Yep, all in good time. I think that the other key point to make here is that this is all evolving, right? So as we train better, as we understand which drugs work, which ones don't, and as the vaccine comes in, today's epidemic is not going to look like yesterday's epidemic. And so we are reaching this point where we're getting better and better with treatments, of course, in the hospital, because people have been at work. We're doing all the things that we need to be doing. But the issue here is that the rate of increase in hospitalizations, not deaths. Deaths can be misleading. ICU admissions even can be misleading, even though we've seen an uptake in that, let's say in Orange County and several counties across the state. But it's the I've always had my eye, you know, squarely on that hospitalization rate, because that is the tip of the iceberg and represents what is happening out in the community, even though it's the younger folks that are going out and about and are at less risk for hospitalization. If you look at the numerator of those who are getting hospitalized, it really is an increase in the rate. And that is so significant, because what it shows you is not so much that people are getting hospitalized as much as how much is out there and being capable of being spread to those who are vulnerable.
So it sounds like you're describing, correct me if I'm wrong, that even if hospitals are able to handle the numbers of patients coming in for COVID-19 now, that this can get away from them very quickly, that exponentially, because of the numbers and that multiplicative effect of exposure, that you can go from where we are now to being overwhelmed in days?
I'm not sure about days, but you're absolutely right. I think the goal here with what the governor is trying to achieve is to you're absolutely right. Early on, we were talking about flattening the curve. Now we're, again, trying to sort of shut it sort of back down to a point where you can reasonably handle the hospitalizations. The truth is that we do have capacity. The question is, do we want to be proactive while we are awaiting a vaccine, while we are awaiting more preventative treatment?
What do you mean proactive? Because again, that, it, you know, as Dr. Latipo was saying, it has significant consequences, and not just economically, but psychologically, and negative consequences for public health too. It's just balancing the trade-offs there in restricting areas of public gatherings versus allowing them to happen. So, what do you mean when you say that?
Yeah. So I guess I think of it as multifactorial. Right now, I think what we have to do sort of in the immediate setting to limit spread, because we saw, I'll take the county's experience, June 12th, we reopen, reengage in areas where you can actually be in close proximity with people, and literally one incubation period later, we start to see our numbers rise above and beyond sort of testing, and we see our hospitalization rates rise. And so on one hand, I think it's exactly right what Dr. Latipo is saying, is that we can't just do one thing. If the governor is shutting down for some period of time, let's use that time properly to see how reopening looks. What does safe reopening actually look? Because you're absolutely right. We are in this situation for some time now, and it has massive social, financial, economic consequences. So why don't we think about ways in which we can reopen our society and go to the hotspots, squelch what we can, where we can, put our resources in that. I think there's so much going on that it's hard for the type of high-level community outreach to happen to actually get people tested and quarantined, and also give preventative things like masks or hand hygiene, get them spread out really definitively across the society, and then look at offices and how reopening, what are the standards for reopening? Do we need plexiglasses between each of our cubicles? Do we need masking to be reinforced and enforced and distancing? How do we achieve that appropriately within a work setting? I think these things are achievable. I think that our societies have already begun to ask questions. Big companies earlier, perhaps, than smaller companies have the financial capability of addressing and hiring people specifically for this type of work to see what reopening looks like. I think we have to do everything, unfortunately.
Well, and we're talking with Dr. Shruti Gohil, UC Irvine Medical Center. She's professor at UCI, professor of medicine and assistant medical director for epidemiology and infection prevention at the UCI School of Medicine. There is, of course, the other factor here, and that is how, you know, people's own decision-making, because as these cases increase, I do think it's going to have a chilling effect just on many people's behavior because, and I wonder if we're going to see this in Las Vegas, you know, where things have opened up and for a time people were going without masks on casino floors and throughout hotels. And then the governor Sisolak there said that, you know, everybody has to be masked. But, you know, when you see these number of cases taking off, it just seems like for businesses, it almost forces them to walk things back, even if there's not a governmental order. We're talking with Dr. Shruti Gohil with us on Air Talk. I wanted to talk with you a bit about, we're talking about the medications that are showing some effectiveness. We're hearing about hospitals that are starting to stockpile some of these, the steroid that's been shown very effective and remdesivir, for significant increases, so-called second wave, that might be coming in the fall. Is there going to be enough of these medications or perhaps others that we determine are beneficial?
Oh, we certainly hope so. I think there are lots of companies looking to upscale their production, and in particular with dexamethasone, which is already FDA approved for general use, and something that we have very much experience with using in patients for other diseases. So dexamethasone, definitely, I think that's promising. Remdesivir, I think we're still seeing lots of allocation. In other words, companies as well as local public health departments have to allocate the remdesivir because of the availability is so short right now in comparison to the number of cases that we are still needing to be careful about that. And stockpiling, I think, yes, absolutely. When it becomes upscaled, I think certainly our institution is looking to stockpile as much as we possibly can, as well as every facility.
Given that this first wave of COVID-19 has been so challenging, we haven't seen a debate during the summer months, as some thought might be possible if it behaves like a seasonal flu, and it hasn't. Is there going to be a clear second wave, do you think, or is it just going to continue to increase, to ebb, and seemingly independent of the sorts of waves one might see with other illnesses?
I think that's a question of the hour. We won't know until we look back, of course, but everything that we understood from previous pandemics, even as far back as the 1918 flu, you see a first wave, a second wave, and a third wave. And in this virus, there's no reason to think that we wouldn't hit another sort of big moment in COVID. It is dragging out longer than anyone thought. That we did think that there would be more of a seasonal pattern. Some of us did. But what this could mean is that we do see a seasonal pattern. It'll be even worse in the fall, which is what all of us are really prepping for. So I think it's hard to know, but the hope is that we use the time to find flatten or lower the cases with the governor's mandate in it coming forward, and then use that time to really learn and train ourselves as a culture, as a society, on how to protect ourselves, how to protect each other with the mask and hand hygiene and multiple layers of things that we can do to protect ourselves for a meaningful reopening. Now, many countries have done this, and we have to ask ourselves, how is it that we can do what they have done, Europe and many others? There's no debating that people have been able to starve out the virus enough to make such low rates, and they've done it as a community.
And just as you're saying that, just on the wire, a story moved that France is planning to reopen all of its schools for the upcoming academic year under as normal conditions as possible. That, according to President Emmanuel Macron, who said, despite lingering concerns from some parents and teachers, that France is anticipating for the upcoming term that all schools will be reopened under as typical circumstances as possible. Dr. Gohil, thank you very much. Always a pleasure. Look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. UC Irvine School of Medicine Professor Dr. Shruti Gohil, Associate Medical Director of UCI's Infection Prevention and Epidemiology Program at the School of Medicine. Speaking of the University of California, the president of UC will be with us shortly, Janet Napolitano, who has just weeks left in her tenure as president. We'll talk with her about the challenges that UC is facing in this era of COVID-19. We'll be back in 90 seconds on Air Talk.